on Hard Facts. I don't just bring you the news, I bring you the newsmakers.
Consul General of the U.S. Consul General in Lagos giving her first ever interview in Nigeria. Claire Pierangelo.
They come to me because they know Lagos is listening.
I love the way you engage Nigeria, especially with people who are called to supremacist Nigeria. They still be among Nigeria than you are.
We talk to the newsmakers.
The Special Assistant to the President on Digital and New Media, Tolu Ogunlesi. Frank Mba has just walked into the studio. Yawande Sadiku. Yawande is the Executive Secretary of NIPC, the Nigeria Investment Promotion Council. The Senior Special Assistant to President Muhammadu Buhari on Public Affairs, Mr. Ajuri Ngelali.
We talk to captains of industry.
She's the founder and CEO of Tomato Joss, one of Nigeria's biggest agro-industrial businesses. Her name is Mira Mehta. He's been selected for Forbes 30 Under 30. His name is Eniolua Aboyeji.
We talk to the experts.
He's the chief economist at Business Day. He's a big friend of the show. Don't so quickly.
He's the head of the Department of Molecular Biology and Biotechnology at the Nigerian Institute of Medical Research, NIMR. Dr. Bamidele Walofo.
And we talk to you.
I found Mr. Usman through Hard Facts. He's a listener. He sent us a WhatsApp message when we were talking about the scanners at the port.
Give me your afternoon and I'll give you the answers.
It's 3 minutes past five. Which party should run local governments in Lagos? We're continuing our series of shows where we get leaders, officials and active members of some of Nigeria's political parties to tell us what they stand for. A lot of the time when you talk to everyday Nigerians about politics, they say, oh, the parties are all the same. But the party loyalists will insist that there are differences. So what we're trying to do here is to get them to show us these differences. And this conversation is even more relevant in Lagos this week than at most other times. And the reason why is today's big hard fact. Local government elections will hold this Saturday. As a Lagosian, you are expected to go to the polls in 2 days' time to pick your local government chair and councillors. And I'm sure the question on your mind is, why pick one party over another? So the parties are here today to answer that question for themselves. At least two of them are. In the red corner representing the umbrella is the state party chairman of the People's Democratic Party, PDP. We have Dr. Debgola Dominic. Thank you so much for joining us. Welcome.
Thank you.
All right. And in the green corner representing the Y is the National Publicity Secretary of Youth Party, Adio Ayodele Lawal. Welcome to Hard Facts.
Thank you for having me, Sandra.
We're hoping that we will get Segun Tomori to join us. He's a member of the Young Stakeholders of APC. He's also the Executive Director of Communications for Red Pole Media. And he'll be representing the broom, the APC, today. Hopefully he joins us over the phone as well. Gentlemen, it's good to have you here. You have 1 million Lagosians listening to you because they listen to Hard Facts. So this is a great last-minute opportunity to get your message out. I'm sure that we're going to have a very revealing conversation. And Lagos, we want to hear from you as well. What questions do you have for the parties? What are the pressing issues for you as you prepare to cast your vote on Saturday? Women, call me on 01465-7190. Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993. Now, before we even dive into the Lagos issues, let's talk about the biggest political issue on the national scene, electronic transmission of results. I'll ask the representative of the PDP on the show, Dr. Dominic, where does your party stand on the votes taken by both chambers of the National Assembly?
Well, the position of party is clearly in favor of electronic transmission results.
Could you speak up? We're struggling to hear you.
The position of our party, the People's Democratic Party, is the use of electronic transfer of results.
Okay.
We believe that the manual, they happen to carry results from remote areas, sometimes across very difficult terrains to the city center or to the center of the country for collation is mainly the cause of the rigging that we have been having. The electronic transfer is very, very much feasible. Even the INEC has said that they have the capacity and the capability to transfer these results electronically. We are not talking of voting electronic vote. We are talking of transferring the results, transmitting the results electronically. We have telephone. We have telephone calls. We make telephone calls. Text messages, emails, all kinds of electronic usage that is going on already now. There's no reason why anybody can say I don't have the capacity to transmit results of the elections from anywhere in this country. The reason to do that is obviously in the effort to continue with the rigging that is doing. You want to transmit results, you want people to carry results, sheets and papers and bags of results, of ballot papers from some areas in Chibok or where Boko Haram people are controlling, where bandits are operating. I want them to bring results from there to even in places where there are no voting is taking place. I just see bags of ballot papers and results surfacing at collection centers. Where people are not even happening, where they can't access, where Boko Haram banks are preventing people from even doing their normal business. You see bags of voters, bags of ballot papers and results coming in from there, having been claiming that they have been collected. That's what happens all over. So they want to continue with this. But we don't, our party does not want that. We know it is easy, it is possible to transmit these results from wherever, any area in this country, to anywhere in this country. And that is what we want. INEC has said they can do it. The constitution gives absolute independence to INEC to take a decision to decide what to use, whether to use electronic transfer or not, transmission or not. And INEC has said they can do it. They have the capacity. So what is stopping us? That's the position of my party.
All right. Mr. Ayodele, who's also the National Publicity Secretary of the Youth Party, what's your position? What's the position of your party?
Thank you, Sandra. And the position of our party is quite clear, and that is technology should be a critical part of our electioneering process. And that is because we believe that technology allows for a transparent process that is accountable and that is largely free from the fraudulence that has characterized a number of elections in our country. But more importantly, let me say that we are the only political party in Nigeria that has first conducted its primary elections completely using mobile technology, where members, and we have 40,000 members as I speak to you nationally, could vote in the primary elections and the results counted without any complaints whatsoever of rigging. And in fact, we will be the first political party to conduct its Congress in 2-3 months from now, where mobile technology will play a critical role in the voting process. So for us as a political party, we believe that technology is the way. And we believe that members of the National Assembly, albeit members of a particular political party that have decided to vote against a process that will sanitize the electioneering process, seem to be rooted in antiquity and want to take back our elections to the Stone Age. You see, for instance, in Lagos, you would agree with me that the voting apathy is a huge problem, such that less than 12% of people turn out to vote in elections. And the reason is simple. A lot of Nigerians do not believe in the process. They don't have faith and confidence in the electioneering process. And what needs to happen for more Nigerians to come out and vote in mass is for the electoral umpire, which is INEC, to instill a lot of confidence by using technology to sanitize the entire process. If we don't do that, we'll continue to systematically disenfranchise millions of Nigerians who otherwise would have wanted to participate in elections across the country. So I think our position is simple. We condemn in strong terms, you know, the expunging of that political of that particular provision to allow for the electronic transmission of votes. And mind you, Sandra, when we talk about the electronic transmission of votes, we're not talking about something that is esoteric. We're talking about a very simple process that can be driven by mobile technology that has penetration almost at every local government in the country. And it's even more funny because I wish that the gentleman representing the APC was here. And he would also agree with me that there is no political party as big as the APC or the PDP that does not collate its results, for instance, before INEC has even announced. Every political party that is major knows where the election is going to swing at least an hour or two before INEC is done with its collation. And they do that by deploying a very simple technology in their situation room where their polling agents across the country can send in live information of the number of votes counted in each polling unit and can send information of all the incidences that happen in a polling unit across the country. And so the people in the situation room have a real-time view, more like a ringside view, of what is happening in the entire country. So you should ask yourself, what technology do they use in their sophisticated collation centers or their sophisticated situation rooms to be able to pull that off? So it's not a complicated technology. In fact, INEC has come out to say clearly, categorically, that they are able to do that, to provide that technology. And mind you, Sandra, if we can accredit voters everywhere in the country, the technology, in fact, using accreditation is actually even more complicated than the technology used in the transmission of votes.
Okay.
We are not talking about transmission of electricity for goodness sake. Neither are we talking about going to space. I mean, it was used in Ondo and it was used in Edo. And it's instructive to note that in the Edo election, Pastor Eze Yamo did not go to the Supreme Court to contest irregularities in the electioneering process.
Okay.
He was challenging the eligibility of Obaseki to contest that election because it was clear that the process was free and fair. The same thing in Ondo State. The former Attorney General, Eitai Ojagede, did not go to court to challenge the process of infraction. He was challenging something completely different because the election was free and fair, and Nigerians who liked numbers could collate the numbers in their bedroom and could tell who had won even before INEC had announced. So please, technology is the way forward, and it's a bit embarrassing that we have decided to go the way that the National Assembly has chosen to.
Lagos, if you just tuned into the show, which party should run local governments in Lagos? Local government elections will hold this Saturday. And as a Lagosian, you're expected to go to the polls in 2 days' time to pick your local government chair and councillors. And your question is, which party should I pick? You know, why should I pick one party over the other? So the parties are here to answer that question for themselves. At least we have two of them. We're hoping that we will get the representative of the APC. He promised to join, so we're trying his numbers at the moment. They're currently not connecting, but we'll keep trying, and hopefully he joins before the end of the show. But we currently have, in the green corner, representing the Y, the National Publicity Secretary of the Youth Party. I'm talking about Adio Ayodele Lawal. And representing the umbrella in the red corner is the State Party Chairman of the People's Democratic Party, PDP. I'm talking as well about Dr. Dominic Debola, and they're both here and they're both telling us their thoughts. Now let's come home to the Lagos elections, and I'll stay with you, Ayodele, for a bit. This weekend, local government elections, you and LASIEC, your party and LASIEC had some interactions. I don't know, how would you assess LASIEC's preparations?
I think that they have a bit that they can do in terms of preparing for the election.
Right.
But, you know, of course, what we have seen over the years is that preparation has never really been the problem. It's about actually carrying out the elections in itself to ensure that, you know, the usual rigging machine does not encapsulate the entire process where people And there are specific things to watch out for, which is, you know, a shame that it's allowed to happen consistently in the Lagos state election. Number one is the fact that which register will be used in accrediting voters on that particular day. Will it be the INEC register that is credible, that we all know, or the Lagos State Electoral Commission is going to spring up with what is called its own register? And once it does that, it has opened the first window for impunity to happen. Because at that point, you and I cannot verify, you know, or authenticate the names of the people in that particular voting register. Of course, the second is actually the allocation of polling units. And we have hammered on this consistently for the Electoral Commission to publish the polling units that it is going to use in the conduct of the election. Not that on election day they will spring up and tell us that in front of House Lagbaja has suddenly become a polling unit and elections are going to happen in that particular polling unit. I mean, the whole world knows. For instance, you know where you're going to be voting in a federal election under INEC. Your polling unit is almost sacrosanct. Unfortunately, that cannot be said for LIHTC. So again, we have been shouting to the rooftop, which polling unit are we going to be using? The INEC recognized polling unit, or LIHTC has it? And if LIHTC is going to be using its own distribution, can we please have those lists published? As we speak, it's not published today. So the ground game happens on election day, where all of the manipulations happen. But this time, I am hoping, I am sincerely hoping, because I have confidence in the woman who is chairing LIHTC Lagos. She's a retired judge and had a sterling career running the judiciary in Lagos State. And I know that she's a woman of integrity and she will not abuse the process in Lagos. So if anything gives me confidence, is the fact that, you know, Mrs. Ayotunde Phillips will not want her name brought into disrepute and will do a good job in ensuring that the process is at least free and fair so that people can come out, vote, and let the numbers speak for itself. Not a situation where people win at polling units and by the time you announce in the collation center, the usual abracadabra has happened. That will not be acceptable in this particular election. So like you said, it's not really about how prepared they are. It's how they execute on that particular day. Because execution is everything. It doesn't really matter how they prepare. And I hope that they execute with the fear of God in mind. And they execute knowing so well that the conduct of that election will determine the livelihoods of Lagosians. Because it is who we elect into offices, not God, that will determine ultimately the outcome of our lives in terms of living income and security in the next 4 years.
Dr. Debgola, how would you assess LIHTC's preparations for Saturday's elections?
Well, we can only hope and pray that LIHTC will perform the way they are expected to perform.
Okay.
Being an impartial and unbiased umpire.
Okay.
It should be. Going by the record of LIHTC.
Someone's radio is on. Can we turn that off? All right, thank you. Go ahead, sir.
Going by the records of LIHTC, we can't expect too much. We've had a retired chief judge as the chairman, the head of LIHTC before.
Okay.
When an election was declared and decided and announced on the media, on the television, that the PDP candidate won, People's Democratic Party won the election.
Okay.
It was announced by the electoral officer,
okay,
LIHTC officer, and so shortly after that, it was cancelled again, and they said no, it was no longer so, and whoever is now happy should go to court. It has happened before in Lagos. It has happened in a few other areas where they blatantly change the results of the elections, or even ensure that the LIHTC itself ensure that the the results are manipulated. And it's unfortunate. But from what we have seen in the last few months, the assurance that we've been having from the present LASEC chairperson, who's a retired chief judge also, we are praying, we are hoping, that this time around things will be done properly. You were saying which party should rule, in Lagos at the level of the local government councils. Of course, it's not just because I'm a PDP person. Everybody in Lagos knows that APC has performed woefully in Lagos. And in the only party that has the substance to take over from APC is the PDP. So it's the PDP that should be ruling. Now, if they allow free and fair elections, if LASEC lives up to expectation, there's no question that PDP will win the election.
Okay. Now, we have finally joining us Mr. Segun Tomori, who is the Executive Director of Communications for Red Pole Media. He's also a member of the Young Stakeholders of APC. Mr. Tomori, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Now, before you joined us, we took a look at the biggest political issue on the national scene, electronic transmission of results. I've asked the two guests who are here with us, a representative, the state party chairman for the PDP and the national publicity secretary of Youth Party. I've already asked them where their parties stand on the vote taken by both chambers of the National Assembly. So I'll be asking you the same question as well. Where does your party stand on the votes taken by both chambers of the National Assembly as far as electronic transmission of results is concerned?
Thank you, Sandra. We saw that it has been passed, you know, the Electoral Act has been passed, the amendment has been passed, and the one that has to do with the electoral transmission, electronic transmission, is just, I think, clause 52, clause 52, thereabouts, and the passage was guided by, you know, connectivity. For instance, if you have to do internet, if you have to do electronic transmission, you have to look at internet connectivity. And I think that the National Assembly has worked closely with the NCC, Nigerian Communications Commission. I know that they are out of reps, for instance, delayed the passage until after, you know, they interface with the NCC to know, you know, what is the rate of the internet connectivity. Because if we're going to be doing the general elections, for instance, and we're going to be transmitting solely electronically, you know, we have the interlands, we have the suburbs, we have, you know, far-flung areas in this country, rural areas that, you know, do not have internet connectivity or they are not strong enough. And I know that the NCC said, I think 49% or 50% thereabouts of Nigeria is connected to as internet connectivity. And I think that guided the passage of the Electoral Act, you know, with respect to the electronic transmission, which states that, I know the version of the Senate states that the National Assembly, the INEC can transmit electronically after, you know, after it is certified by NCC that there's enough coverage to, you know, nationally and approved by the National Assembly. Then the House of Rep passed its own version, which states that it can be, that INEC can decide to transmit, you know, any mode, you know, it chooses to transmit the election results and all that. So, and I think there will still be a conference of the of both assemblies, of both chambers of the National Assembly, to fine-tune and harmonize, you know, the position they will have before the final bill is sent to the president for accent and all that. That is how it will play out. So I think our party is not, our party supports progressive improvement, you know, in election management, electoral management, and, you know, and all that. You know, we've had, we were a beneficiary of the card reader system. You know, we used to have, the former system before the advent of card readers for accreditation used to be very chaotic, used to be prone to rigging and all that. So we benefited from card reader. And I feel that, you know, our party and our senators and House of Reps members, they are not averse to electronic transmission of results and all that. But we must also, but they are concerned about, you know, the credibility of the process in situations in which we have just only electronic transfer, where there are problems with connectivity and all that. And I think those are issues that will be sorted out going going forward, you know. So that's my position on that.
All right, Mr. Tomori, I'll be asking you more questions when we return from this break. Lagos, stay right here. You're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Start sending your thoughts in via Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3. We're streaming live there. You can also send in your thoughts via YouTube, Nigeria Info FM. And there's also WhatsApp, 080-959-75805. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. This is 99.3 Nigeria Info.
99.3 Nigeria Info, your number one station for talk. Let's talk.
I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. We're talking to representatives from three political parties who are participating in local government elections here in Lagos. We've got representing the Youth Party, their National Publicity Secretary, Adio Ayodele Lawal. We have representing the APC, a member of the Young Stakeholders of the APC. And he's also Executive Director, Red Pole Media. I'm talking about Segun Tomori. He joined us a bit later. And we also have the state party chairman of the People's Democratic Party. He's right here with us, joined us at the top of the hour. He is none other than Dr. Debola Dominic. Gentlemen, thank you so much for sticking around. Segun, before the break, you told us where your party stands with electronic transmission. I'm going to give the other gentlemen on this call with us a chance to respond to what you said, but I want you to answer something for me. We've now heard from INEC. INEC insists that there's sufficient network connectivity nationwide for electronic transmission of results. They're also citing a report from 2018 jointly issued by them and the NCC on this. So what do you think about the NCC testifying otherwise before the House of Reps, Segun?
Well, the NCC, as I know, is an independent institution. You get. So I'm not aware of that. You quoted a report that they said was jointly signed or whatever. I don't know. But I know NCC is an independent institution, and I've not seen a rebuttal by independent bodies or communication experts to say what NCC said is wrong or is false. You get. So I feel it's an ongoing conversation. You know, since there, like I said, there'll be a harmonization of, you know, the version of the Electoral Act passed by both chambers of the National Assembly. I feel that there is an ongoing conversation. I particularly would have loved to see, personally, my personal opinion, I would have loved to see a lot of advancement in the electoral process, not only electronic transmission of results, but also a situation in which if I have my voter's card and I'm not close to my polling unit, but I can vote in other parts, you know, of my state or the country and all that, such that, you know, there will be processes, the electronic processing will be enough to authenticate, you know, my identity, my polling unit and all that. So, but, you know, we are still advancing. Technological advancement is still advancing. We can see from the U.S. how advanced the U.S. is. And we saw the attempt or the allegations of hacking of results and interference by Russia and all that. So those are concerns, you know, that we have over the usage of technology and all that. But that is not enough to say we should not use it. We have to, you know, develop a foolproof method, way, modality to guide against situations like that. So for me, basically, it's an ongoing conversation. The people should reach out to their house. I feel people should reach out to their legislators. You know, it's not something about maybe the president or the party and all that. Nigerians should reach out to the House of Rep members, reach out to their senators in their constituencies, you know, to put pressure to say, okay, do the right thing. This is what we do. We want. There's a saying that says vox populi, vox dei. The voice of the people is the voice of God. So, you know, Nigerian citizens have a role to play in this matter if they feel strongly in a particular way or a certain pattern about the Electoral Act amendment. So those are my views on that.
Those are your views, Dr. Debola. What do you say?
Well, you see, Sandra, We are going to the way this matter is going to be, the discussion is going to be ongoing forever. Okay. But at the point where we are now, we want something that we can give us reliable results, that so that we can, the wish of the people can prevail.
Okay.
Right now, right now, people with the carrying of ballot papers and result sheets from one location to another causes a lot of problems for us. Gives us a lot of challenges. The manipulations happen along the way. Some ballot papers will disappear. Some results will have been manipulated by the time they get to the collection centers. Even at the collection centers, all kinds of things happen there. We don't have original results that are incontrovertible. We will continue to have this problem, and the bringing will continue. What is difficult in transmitting the results from one place to the other, electronically, and it will be flawless? It has no challenges. The INEC is independent. It is the decision of the INEC that should prevail. Even the Constitution gives INEC the power to take a decision on this. The NCC is not even a constitutional body. The NCC cannot dictate to INEC what to do. It's the INEC that decides. The National Assembly itself does not dictate to INEC, should not. INEC is supposed to be independent. So if INEC says it is possible, it can do, it's what they can do, why not? They should go ahead and do it. Without the National Assembly should not constitute a clog in the wheel of progress. We all know that what happened, it was a kind of a partisan voting that happened at the National Assembly. Most of the voters, those who voted, it was a long party line, I know. Most of those who voted against the electronic transmission were from one particular party. And those who voted for it were from mainly from another political party, which is unfortunate. This thing is not supposed to be a partisan thing. We want to continue to rig elections. That is what it means. My own position is that INEC has said it is possible to transmit these results electronically. As where we are now, we cannot do electronic voting now, we know. There are so many other things that we cannot do electronically now. But the transmission, which is giving us problems from one place to the other, we can do that. We can. INEC says we can do it. Let them do it. Let them transmit results. We won't have the problem of people manipulating results at collection centers or even at the polling areas between the polling areas and the collection centers.
Ayodele,
I think we should just let INEC do what it says it is capable of doing.
All right, Ayodele.
Yes, I think it's a very simple process, and I don't know why there's too many debate at what should otherwise be a very easy decision to make. There are villages in Edo State. There are remote communities in Ondo State. Yet, results were transmitted electronically. Right? So, except we're saying that every village in Edo State, every village in Ondo State is thus developed. And I repeat, the technology required to transmit votes are not such a sophisticated technology. It is driven by mobile technology to a very large extent. And let me even break it down. What does it even mean to transmit votes electronically? For instance, if you take a photograph, all right, of the result, in a particular polling unit, and you send it or you upload it on the website of INEC, or you send it to some database that is being collated somewhere, you have transmitted a result electronically, right? So it is not some sort of sophisticated technology that is required, and that is why I argued earlier that the technology you even use in accrediting voters is even more sophisticated than the transmission of votes. So if we can accredit voters across the country and the technology works, and also with the technology works successfully to even reduce rigging, then that technology that we'll use to transmit votes would also work impeccably. And INEC has clearly stated that it can transmit results everywhere in the country. And like the chair of the PDP said, INEC is an independent institution. it has the power and the backing of the Constitution to conduct elections in the way and manner that it chooses within the ambit of the law, right? So I don't know what the debate really is about whether NCC said A or NCC said B. The truth is the technology required to do this is not a sophisticated technology. And I've said to you earlier, every major political party transmits votes electronically using its situation room, such that its polling unit agent transmits results to that situation room real time, such that they are able to collate results even before INEC announces it. What technology do they use to do that? Because it's a simple technology.
Okay, Lagos, join the conversation, 01465-7190, 01465-7190. Today only, that number is open to all. It's open to men, it's open to women. Everybody try and get through on that number because we have our three guests on the phone, so you may not be able to reach us on 0700-993-993-993. But we definitely have WhatsApp, and you can lend your voice to the conversation via WhatsApp. WhatsApp is 080-9595-9975805. Hads Dreg says, in Badagry, the former chairman decided to share rice and clothes. We all rejected it. He has lost it. Nigerians are now wise. Okay. Ada in Ajao Estate is on the line. Hello, Ada.
Hello.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
I simply want advice, first of all, the young politicians, like the guy from APC.
Mm-hmm.
He knows that what he's saying is not straight. And, he needs to stand up and advise the elderly ones there and then carry out his own cross, not carrying anybody's cross. And then the PDP, it's so annoying. Every election time, they just come out, they just appear from somewhere. What are they doing? What have they been doing in Lagos? Each time you see that PDP clearly wins election in Lagos State, and somehow they just go in and sit down. What's wrong? Are they looking for what? And then the young people, the youth party, I just hope and pray that they win and they don't go the way of the old ones. Because in Ajawa Estate, you see them, and we don't have so many roads in Ajawa Estate, Fata Erawo, Telosholanke, and then Kobam Street. These are streets that when you do, if people in Ajawa can at least meet and then go into where they are living. But how many years ago, the chairman kept saying, we went on a protest there in the local government. He kept saying that, came on channel, that this one, that the roads in Ajawa, they poured sand and all that. Who are they deceiving? And then now they are doing a Chivita Road. Chivita Road, they just put some paving things there. And then the next morning, whether they carry it to their houses, you don't know. If you check there now, it may be like 1 kilometer or 2 kilometers, they've not done it. It's wrong. You can't even see them. You can't see them to complain about anything. I'm just praying that the young girl that is coming out, youth party in Ajawa, that people will come out and vote for her. So that people who have talked with her and people have been commending her, she should come out. People will come, should come out and vote. We shouldn't sit down and say it's been concluded. No. Where we are going to, whether they like it or not, they've not done anything. The senators, they are just afraid that people will just take over. They are just afraid. Why don't they use the remaining 2 years or 1 year and 6 months to do something better for their senatorial zones and for their constituencies? They should do it and clean their plates and then see whether people will forget. Probably we normally forget. Why are they afraid? It's always very bad looking at them and then I said, when the eyes have it, somebody says the nays have it. And then it just goes like that. What kind of rigging is that? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ada. Thank you so much for calling. Alex is in Ikeja. Hello, Alex.
Yeah, hi, Sandra.
Welcome.
How are you doing?
I'm very well.
The gentleman on the other side. See, I usually joke that people want to pick up a PhD degree on a radio program. That's exactly what our legislators did in Abuja the other day.
Okay.
They don't understand. They don't know anything about this argument before them. And they didn't take the time to school themselves before coming to cast their votes on the issues, right?
Okay.
Transmission is a form of transportation. If we trust the bus driver to transport voting forms, voting materials and all those things, why can't we trust that INEC can also use a satellite company? Even DSTV can be helpful. in transmitting some of these results. That's the fact of the matter.
Okay.
Now, they didn't get enough information. I heard the guy, I think he's the APC gentleman, that said that the experts have not come to debate it. In this country, we know that when you and I are speaking on radio here, it carries no vote unless the company has been hired by the government of the day before it will recognize whatever debates that we're having, even right now. So even though experts are talking about it, If Ndume can get DSTV in his village, trust me, we can transmit easily from wherever they are. Contract the job to a satellite company, they will deliver. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Alex, for calling. Dr. Dominic, the caller before Alex was saying the PDP seems to be missing in action in Lagos. Why is that?
Yes, that is quite true. And I must admit that it is unnecessary. It is unfortunate. I can't say anything but admit and hope and promise that from this time around we shall take this business between one election and another more seriously. There are many people in the PDP who realize this too and who want a change in the attitude of the general membership. I don't want to blame the leadership alone, but there is always one crisis or another bedeviling the PDP in Lagos, especially. So we hope that we only pray and hope that we will get over all that and settle our differences. It is true. We can't deny that. It is obvious, and it is making PDP, the Lagos people, to lose, because everybody is waiting for the PDP, expecting the PDP to do something about it. We are not doing enough. No question about that. We will do more. We will try to do more. That's all. Thank you.
Ayodele, last Friday we saw terrible flooding in many parts of Lagos. In the aftermath, we saw minimal responsiveness from any tier of government in terms of remediation, relief, or sanitation. We've also seen all the analysis about flooding getting worse in the future due to climate change. And Lagos being below sea level and being right on the coast means that we are at risk. What role do you think local government should play in keeping Lagosians and their properties safe from flooding? And what's your party's plan for that, Ayodele?
First, the critical role of local government is local governments are usually in charge of environmental sanitation. They're in charge of sewage. They're in charge of these people who clear dirt from the environment. The local governments are completely in charge of that. And one of the real issues that drives flooding in Lagos is actually habitual. It's behavioral. The way people dump their waste, the way people dispose of, some of their waste from their houses into, drainages and block many of these drainages. So if you solve the behavioral component of it, which should largely be driven by local government in terms of educating people in the local government, in terms of enforcing sanitation laws, in terms of holding people to account at the local government level, then we'll begin to make headway. Of course, that doesn't solve the problem entirely, because Lagos is on the coast and you cannot completely stop flooding. But at least it will reduce the frequency in which it happens and the scale at which it happens. Of course, at the broader level, there has to be more coordination between the state response, the state emergency response team, and the response team at local levels. And that is, there's a total collapse of that in local governments across Lagos State. Local governments are completely handicapped and largely lack the ability to respond to any emergency of some sort, right? And so that needs to change fundamentally. And I think that as a political party, one of the things that we have committed ourselves to achieve, should we eventually get elected into office, is to reestablish governance at a local level, which has completely collapsed across Lagos State. You only have one government in Lagos, and that's in Alausa. And on many of the local governments, nothing really happens. It's just people collecting salaries and contracts and area boys collecting levies on behalf of the chairman. We want to restore governance at a local level across Lagos State to bring governance close to the people so that people have a sense of what it means to live in a functional democracy that takes very seriously the welfare and security of its citizens. And that is the barest minimum that a government can provide. And those are the values we intend to bring into local governments across Lagos State. The honor, the ability to stay committed to your oath of office, the ability to discharge your duties with diligence, with honesty, the ability to be accountable to your people at the local government. Not the situation that we have had for many years, where you have councillors who live in Lekki, but they are councillors in Ajao Estate, where you have local government chairmen who live in Ikoyi and they are administering local government, you know, somewhere in Surulere or somewhere in Ikeja. So there is really no local connection and there is really no social contract between those who are being led, you know, and then the leadership. And that is what we intend to restore.
Mr. Adio, let's leave it at that. Let's
leave the people that lead them.
Yes, let's leave it at that. Unfortunately, we're completely out of time. I would have asked Segun Tomori about their plan as well, but Mr. Tomori is based not in...
I can talk about it.
Oh, well, we are out of time. That's the sad part. And, you know, we can't even do this again before the elections proper. But hey, gentlemen, thank you so much for your time. We'll take a break, Lagos, and then we'll hand you over to the news team at 6 o'clock. And after that, we will bring you Lisa Lagosian at 6:30. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. Thank you so much for listening to the show.